This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. Luby, it's Thursday again. Welcome to Future CEOs.
My happy place. How are you doing, babe?
I'm very good. But let me just say this because it's a little bit of a preempt to our discussion today. I'm a little bit stressed. I'm a little tired. We've had some big things happening here on Future CEOs side over the last couple of weeks. And so it takes a little bit of a toll, but it's very, very, very exciting. How are you doing?
And it's only February. It feels like August, but in a good way. And we've got lots of things planned and in the bag as in the Future CEOs. So the Future CEO community should be ready for some really great things happening to you and to us right here on the show.
Yes, that is exactly right. Let's just quickly introduce the show to those who haven't heard the show before. What is this all about? Well, if you are an up-and-coming, high-potential young executive or an entrepreneur who's looking to really grow their business, fast-track that process to CEO status, well, then this is the show for you. Luby, how do they get involved in all of this? 0861551189. I know, I can see you squinting at the screen. Do you want to add some more?
Okay, on Twitter, we're at Cliff Central or Future_CEOs, Facebook Cliff Central, or download us on the WeChat ID at Cliff Central.
Okay, great. So, look, those fashion guys, a great show.
Always great, a great show. Always looking great, the Fashion Lab, yeah.
They did eat into our time a little bit, looking at them. They're not even listening to us outside the studio. But what's so nice is that really their conversation preempted a little bit of this conversation. And so we are talking stress. We are talking stress and success here. And what we are going to do on the show is we're going to refresh, rejuvenate a little bit of a conversation that we had, a very important conversation at the LeaderX 2015 conference that we were at. It was at the Santa Convention Center.
Correct.
Do you want to tell everyone just how popular we were, Luby?
Oh, we were the top of our game right there. You know what was so important to me is that we had so many great discussions, but I think, you know, especially in an entrepreneurial journey and in the entrepreneurial spirit, busy and productivity are two completely different things, and Joburg is all about being busy, but we want to be productive entrepreneurs. So today's topic is succeed without killing yourself, Gareth.
Yeah, exactly, and that was the topic that we spoke about then. We want to refresh it because it's such an important thing. Yeah. Ulcers are real. Weight loss is real.
Fever blisters are real.
And it all really just comes down to this thing, stress. So let's kick it off. Here's a question that we kicked it off with then, and we're going to go into their answers now. But is our stress self-induced, or is it real? Does it come from outside, or does it come from inside? Let's listen to insights here.
Differentiate between real stress and self-induced stress. So there's another element there, right? And then just some management tips, perhaps, as
otherwise
well.
Known as worrying.
Otherwise known as worrying. Okay, nice, yeah.
So I think the first place is we need to set boundaries, personal boundaries as well.
Mm.
So almost stopping yourself from getting yourself into certain situations. I actually read something the other day, a nice little quote, that the stuff that stressed you out a year ago, you've actually forgotten about today.
Yeah.
You actually can't remember what it was, right?
Sure, sure.
Yet at that moment, it was like almost suicide time, right?
Completely.
Yeah. I think it was a girlfriend.
I'm not remembering. But I think those boundaries are very important. As much as one sets boundaries with colleagues, bosses, especially spouses, partners, children even, those personal boundaries also remind ourselves, this is where I stop and start. There's some me time, even if it's, you know, stopping at the coffee shop after work before you go home, just to sort of get some downtime and think about something else. Look at a flower, I don't know, whatever grabs you. But the significance of separating personally driven stress and stress from external is where you get this balance of how you manage. We were talking about how one man, Karen was just talking about how you manage and understand your own levels.
Mm. I would say that all stress is real stress. Yeah. Whether it's perceived or real, I mean, it's still affecting you in a certain kind of way.
Yeah,
right?
From my perspective, in terms of what we've experienced, the most phenomenal mindset change around stress is to kind of own your stress, to recognize whether it's self-induced or whether it's external stresses. It's how you prioritize and how you're going to manage it. It's kind of like life, you know. We can wait for life to happen, or we can walk boldly into life. I believe the same is true for stress. Mm-hmm. You can let stress happen to you, or you can walk boldly into the face of stress and say, I'm going to take control of my own life across, and for me, it's across your life areas. So I recently walked into a CEO's office, one of our clients, CEO of a large South African telecoms, and he said to me, Nadine, how do I manage work-life balance in my organization and make it not about less time at work for more time at play? Because that's not really the message I want to be giving in terms of driving business, business drive. And for me, the thing is about recognizing that, and this is a talk I give, it's about there's no such thing as work-life balance. We need to understand that.
Yeah.
Work is part of life. And we all need to own our work role, and we have roles in our work-life area. We need to own our work role as part of our life, and then own the other parts of our life as well and set our priorities.
So I remember when I happened to be in hospital and you had free rein in the Cliff Central studio.
Oh, dear.
I was sweating bullets. Forget about why I was there. And you had someone come on and she used a word when we were talking about this work-life balance. Do you remember the word? I'll remind you.
Remind me.
It was harmony.
Yes.
Instead of looking at it as something you have to try and balance, like a scale or whatever it is, rather see it as part of a harmony that you're playing in your life. Different notes are there for different reasons and to create different feelings and.
So that and it's harmony across your life areas. Mm. So if I look at my roles that I perform in my life, across all my different life areas, we've got kind of 7 major ones. You know, there's your work role. So I'm a director, I'm a shareholder, I'm a boss, I'm a colleague, I'm a mentor, I'm a facilitator, I'm a speaker. We perform those roles. Then I'm also in my family role, a wife and a mother and a sister and a daughter and, God forbid, a daughter-in-law and all of these roles. All of those roles require my time. And I have all these balls in the air. The important thing is prioritization across what's important so that I don't find myself in a situation where I'm spending too much time on those things that are less important to me or not getting to spend enough time on those things that are vitally important to me in my life.
So I think when you talk about harmony, the problem sometimes comes in is when your orchestra is out of sync and different instruments are playing at different levels and the tune is not a harmonious tune. So you have to learn to either tune up your own instrument or, as the conductor, tune up the whole orchestra. So, again, it's your strategy that will help you find your way.
What are the symptoms that you're seeing a lot in, you know, today's society? What are people complaining about when it comes to the physical capabilities and physical illnesses?
Well, as a physiotherapist, we see lots of back pain, neck pain, headaches, and it can translate to anything. There's a high risk of cardiovascular disease, the level of diabetes is skyrocketing, obesity is skyrocketing, and a large part of the strategy to help stress, and certainly in our side, is encouraging physical activity. And there's certainly a lot of evidence about the importance of physical activity and how it can prevent the onset of cardiovascular diseases and diabetes and obesity and even things like depression. If you're exercising regularly, it can decrease the incidence of depression and Alzheimer's even, and that's research-based. And there's another strategy at the moment called exercise is medicine. So we're all happy to take a drug to take our pain away or for cholesterol.
Interesting.
Exercise should be your drug because it will translate across all of those diseases, but the dosage is very specific. So you need to find the right time, and there's certain recommendations that are made for the population that you're addressing.
So I've got a question for you, because you've been at World Cups, you have been at Commonwealth Games, you've been to how many Olympic Games?
I've been to 4 Olympic Games.
4 Olympic Games, and I mean, you're there looking after these athletes. There's no one that is more physically active than them. How do they deal with or cope with stress?
Well, the thing is, it depends. Like, if it's the day before you've got a 100-meter event and you've been training for 5 years, the stress levels are out of the sky.
Yeah, sure.
And also, you've then got the coach on your back and you've got the managers on your back. So it depends on what the stress level is, because often if they've got their managers, and a lot of them are individual athletes, they can then take their time out, they can visualize, they can meditate, they can do whatever works for them. In a team sport, it's a little bit more difficult because you're reliant on so many other people to help you out there. But the stress at any level, even if you're a social athlete and you want to play squash and you've got an ankle sprain and you're not going to get there the next day and let down your team, you know, then it's also a different stress. So whether you're an elite athlete or a social athlete, you've got the same stresses. But obviously the reward at the end is very different.
I do hear you talk about a couple of mechanisms, and those mechanisms are meditation, taking some time off just to
recoup.
Be by yourself. I mean, I it would be so interesting to find out how many of the people here in the audience and are listening actually do that. If they actually do it. Laura and I, you're in the recruitment space. Just share some feelings around what we're talking about here, but what you're seeing in your specific area.
So there are two parts. Firstly, a case study that we've experienced in our own business with our consultants. You know, I looked at our working environment and the importance of work-life balance, or, you know, whether that exists or not. And we said, well, let's blur that line, okay, to make it easier for our staff. Let's say to them that they can work. We gave them full rein of flexi time. We said that, you know, they could leave at once they'd completed a certain amount of deliverables. They could leave work for the day. And what happened, what we found, was that people started, and going back to that harmony discussion, people started blurring. Their life wasn't so compartmentalized. So our consultants started working smarter while they're at work, and then taking their work home and going to gym in between, and then working later. And on leave, it wasn't just leave and so no work was done. They were actually doing work on leave, you know, while they were on leave. And it blurred it because we had compartmentalized their life. We found our results went through the roof, and their stress levels lowered, which was because it wasn't so compartmentalized. And I think that's what I see a lot of. I see people who try to be too much of everything all at the same time. That's when you'll get it wrong, and that's when you'll experience burnout.
Yes.
You know, I was chatting to Mark Lamberti the other day, you know, ex-CEO of MassMart, and he was saying to me, I mean, he's an incredibly successful businessman in his own right and family man and juggles a lot of balls. And he said to me, he said, Laura, you've got to be the best version of you in the space that you're in at that moment. So if you're at home and you're with your kids, be a mom. Don't worry about work because you're not there right now. When you're at work, be the best CEO that you can be. When you're speaking to a colleague, be the best colleague you can be. And I think people just try to be too much of everything all at once.
I think, Nadine, for you, I think most of my stress levels personally is that you're trying to be everything to everyone. 100%. And you know what, it's just giving yourself and you're completely flushed out and you need kind of to be rejuvenated once again. Do you see that a lot? And and in your travels, is that the same situation?
It's this pursuit for perfection.
Yeah.
And I always, if you have any remembrance of matric algebra or geometry, I don't even remember if it was algebra or geometry. But there's this line called the asymptote, and it's the line that aims for the x-axis but never quite reaches it. And I think we have to look at perfectionism a little bit in that way. Aim for perfection, but understand you're never going to reach it. And just recognize we can't be the perfect, you know, I can't be the perfect director in a day, the perfect mom, the perfect boss, the perfect wife, you know, the perfect goddess in the bedroom, whatever it is. I can't be all of those things in one day because I am tired. And, you know, this comes on to, for me, a really important point that we don't often get to around stress management. When you speak to what's the greatest stress at a world-class athlete level, we can look at it in terms of a world-class corporate athlete as well. What we find the greatest stressor is not enough rest, not enough sleep, because what are we doing? And this, I'm flying my flag boldly around sleep. What do we do? We've got so much to fill into our lives, and we're all time poor and stress rich with all these balls in the air, that we are jeopardizing our hours of sleep, and then good quality sleep, which is why I put the dagger to the head, because very often we're sitting on our mobile technology in bed, just trying to catch up on our Twitter account and on our WhatsApp groups, and we're getting all of that backing blue light in our heads, and we're not talking to our partners anymore, and we're not getting into proper rest and recovery. I recently went to bed with a heart rate variability monitor after sitting on my laptop for 2 hours, and it took me, even though I thought I was in sleep, it took me an extra 2 hours to get into any type of REM sleep. Now, your REM sleep is directly responsible for your mental connectors, your emotional stability, your physical rejuvenation the next day.
We're all
walking around tired. Now, Dr. Craig Nassel, the Springbok doctor of our rugby team about to go and win our World Cup for us, he will tell you,
all the coaching methodologies now, the focus in terms of what's new in coaching, rest and recovery.
Rest and recovery.
Rest and recovery.
So what do you have to say for yourself? What's the technology?
The key thing is
rest here, and recovery, love.
Confess, how many hours of sleep did you have last night?
Yeah.
Confess.
This is the wrong day to be asking that.
Okay, I see.
It's probably 5. Which I know is way below your recommended threshold.
Well, no, you see, this is the thing. It's one actually can't give a recommended threshold. It's anywhere between 4 and 12, but you've got to make, you've got to know for yourself. So you tell me, was it enough?
Yeah,
who does?
I think it was enough because I managed
to get
another
12 hours to work.
But I think, look, a personal philosophy again, and I think I actually experienced that in our business. We do have a big advocacy for moderation. I personally say, you know, everything in moderation, especially moderation, but that's my personal the moderation element is important. I mean, look at our business, right? We, global business, 330,000-odd people who are around the world. We are proper 24/7 business. Mm. There's this thinking in the business that, you know, don't go and reinvent something. Someone else knows the answer or has done it before.
Okay.
Now, with that thinking, what do? We become lastminute.com. Literally everything we do. I mean, my poor marketing team, you know, they called me yesterday and I said, well, you're probably just returning the favor because I do this to you all the time. Literally, you know, Friday before an event, I'll say, okay, we're a key sponsor. Can you pull it together? Now, yes, that creates pressure on them. But if one is happy in that space and you feel very productive and you are, you know, it's a rewarding job, which I'd like to think many of our consultants experience, then you work it in, right? Mm. Because you're working in the pleasure of some kind of result or an outcome that you're driving at a client or in a bigger...
So I think we're going to leave it there. If you do want to listen to the rest of that conversation, you can go and find it, cliffcentral.com/LeaderX 2015. So be a few thoughts that came back to your mind as you were listening to them again. They were great guests.
Great, especially for our entrepreneurs out there, especially for those who are listening to our future CEO community. Leaders are about a cycle of activity and rest. Mm. And it's all about rejuvenation and it's all about emotional stability to perform at your peak and to perform at your highest. What did you pick up?
Well, just on the point that you're making now, I mean, what's so interesting, of course, is that people like Richard Branson are said... They don't take long nights of rest. They, on a plane, they'll take 2 or 3 hours. In a car, they'll take an hour.
The nap syndrome.
Exactly.
Love
exactly
that.
These power naps. Yeah. And really, that all adds up. And so they seem to be able to function 24/7. So that's an important point.
I love the term sleeping your way to the top. In the future CEO context, yeah, I tell you.
There's a real different meaning there, isn't there? Well, here's what I liked. So there's three things that I pulled out. First, priorities. You must prioritize. And this is such an important point. And some of our previous guests, like Clive Butko, he's very, very strong on it. You'll remember that conversation there. And so we must use our time wisely. So we must prioritize. The second, and I really liked this, especially coming from, you know, the Olympic physiotherapist. I mean, that's such a valuable source of information.
Correct.
Is that medicating something is really you're addressing a symptom. You're not really looking at the solution or the source. So you must relieve or aim at that, the cause of, and not just the symptom, the issue. So a headache is there for a reason why.
Correct.
Don't just pop a pill.
Anything
else from
I don't
side?
Know what works for everybody else, but for me, an upcoming future CEO myself, I cannot say enough the importance of exercise. For me, that is the stress reliever of all time. My sleep patterns are better. I look and I feel fantastic and I'm ready to hit the day hard. So for me, exercise is key.
Yeah, I agree. I think, what's her name? Was it Corin? Corin spoke and said it's the equivalent of taking an antidepressant.
Correct.
And so that's such an important aspect as well.
So who are our guests for this topic, succeeding without killing yourself? yourself, it was Suren Govender.
Suren Govender, of course, yes. The MD of Accenture Analytics, very important.
Okay, Karen Fleischman.
Yeah, and this is now where, I mean, the big dogs.
The Olympic team.
Yeah, Olympic team, four Olympics that she's been
to. Incredible.
So she's really seen it. Then we have Laura Reynolds.
Yeah, the recruitment group.
Yeah, exactly. And then finally, Nadine Walsh.
The director of Kaelo Consulting.
And of course, Kaelo, they're big into the wellness space as well.
Correct.
So corporate wellness is very important. Well, it was a good conversation, and I'm glad that we've been able to look at it again because it's so important and so relevant for right now. A final thought before we go to break.
It feels like August, but for the future CEO community out there, we still have one hell of a year to get through, to conquer, to amplify, to advocate entrepreneurship in this space and age.
Very nice. All right, up next, we are going to be doing our startup of the week feature. We're reintroducing it, and we've got a very interesting young lady that's coming in here. She's been all over the world, she's done incredible things, but she's back here in this country wanting to uplift, wanting to add,
making a difference.
We will see you after this break.
Future CEOs on cliffcentral.com. This is cliffcentral.com.